gotta look what's going round.
I believe it is time we stop. Many, many things. It's also time for me to stop in a few seconds. More than a few, but less than one might hope. So that was Rick Moss. No, Nick Moss. I've never heard of him before. I found him in our record library. He was wandering aimlessly, and no one has played him. We've had the CD here for some time, but I think probably nobody noticed that he did a cover of For What It's Worth. I don't know. I kind of liked some of the other stuff that was on that's on this CD, which is called Privileged. It's definitely got some left stuff, and I might end up playing it again one day in the near future. Before that was a little clip from Sonia Sanchez. She's a poet, and I got that from somebody's radio show called The Michael Slate Show. It's a weekly program. I don't know too much about it. I found it on this wonderful website where I spend much time, the Anarchist Radio Hour. No, it's called Radio for All. That's radio4all.org, where you can find lots of really odd stuff. I know I always do. And before Sonia Sanchez was Angelique Kidjo from her recently new album called Oyo. And that was Move On Up, a Motown cover for her with Bono and somebody rather. So very odd, unusual business. But that's it here for what's left. We're really out of time. I did want to say a couple of things. So we told you about the protests tomorrow. The Answer Coalition sponsored East Coast protest against anti-immigrant racism starts at noon tomorrow at Copley Square. And Jill Stein, Green Rainbow candidate for governor, is having a barbecue this Sunday in Jamaica Plain. And you're invited to come discuss the issues with her and other like-minded activists. The barbecue starts at 2 p.m. this Sunday, 71 Williams Street, Apartment 2, near the Green Street Station on the Orange Line. Visit her website, jillstein.org, for more information about that. Not too much going on. It's too hot to do anything, which is why tomorrow's a very good day to go out and stand with our brothers and sisters in Copley Square for what it's worth. The views and opinions expressed on this program have been those of the participants and not necessarily the staff and management of WMBR, the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, or the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. I'm going to make way now for... Oh, it's quiet, so it's time for Music for Human Beings. They'll be in a moment. Patiently waiting are they, and you as well. You're listening to WMBR in Cambridge.
مرحباً بكم. I am الدكتور جالس السكران and I welcome you. The welcoming of a friend is a kind one. It is a welcoming we anticipate. And so let us bring some friends here to join us. Aurora, marhaban.
Welcome to the show, and thank you so much for having me on here yet again. And I welcome all those who are listening.
And we welcome you also, Aurora. Aurora is a vocal therapist.
That's right. And I am so many other things as well, as we all are. The labels which we paste to one another can consume us.
Consumption is a problem.
It was a common ailment, I believe, in the past. And I hope that we nurture ourselves against it in the future.
It is important to nurture oneself and also to nurture others. So let us nurture someone else. Aurora, we welcome Professor Levine. Professor, welcome.
Hello. Welcome, Dr. Jalas.
I also welcome you, Professor.
Welcome,
Levine.
Aurora.
Welcome, Professor Levine, as always.
And welcome to all our listeners. It is a profoundly oblong pleasure of mine to be here tonight. And might I add that besides my traditional expertise in New Age Jewish mystical thought, I've recently opened a practice as a manual therapist. I find that the act of putting a label on someone, of pasting a label on their skin, can be quite therapeutic. I have to say, this music is really putting me in a strange place at the moment.
I believe sometimes we need to be put in a somewhat stranger place.
This music has put me in a thirsty place, and I will have
mango juice,
a glass of delicious Mexican Coca-Cola.
It is very frothy.
It is also, it's delicious, really. Well, Professor Levine, thank you so much for being with us. We also welcome Zoro, the numerologist. Zoro, are you there with us?
Yes. Thank you very much for allowing me to be here. And thank you, listeners.
Zoro, I thank you. It is you that I thank.
Well, thank you for your thanks.
Is that an accordion, perhaps?
I'm not sure, actually. The music has, up to this point, been very unusual. Aside from making me very thirsty, it has made me really wish that it were not quite so warm. And also I hope that there is a land where one is rescuing someone else.
Well, it is, from a musical perspective, from my vocal expertise, it is built to remind one of the simplicities of childhood. And perhaps later on the music will develop slightly and break out of that.
Well, I believe this is questing music. This is the music that accompanies one on the initial part of a journey and a quest.
It is the journey of life. When you are a child, you see around you shades of gray. None at all. You see only... Ah, yes, this is the disturbance I was anticipating.
The teenage years. Yes.
You realize that those things which you thought would make you so happy...
They're also flat.
Bring. They can also bring misery, that's right, the flatness.
Yes, it's funny, when I myself was a child, I thought the best thing in life, the best possible thing in life, would be a birthday party.
It was.
Perhaps. But now that I've grown many decades older, I've learned to enjoy the little things of every day. Not just looking forward to one day in a year. I get up and I walk and I have this kind of melody in my head. It's often quite like this melody that we're hearing right now. In fact, I'd say this is possibly the theme music of my life.
It's an unbirthday.
It's just a little lighthearted frolic.
Well, I myself require a moment of attention for this. So let us take a brief moment to thank everyone for the wonderful and unusual voices that they give us. We'll be back momentarily.
My car's a death trap.
Oh, there's a car coming!
Death on the highway.
There's a truck coming! Oh!
Crush that car.
Cars collide.
Hear the crushing steel.
We couldn't die any quicker.
They were killed in an auto wreck.
There's no expression like a fatal crash.
He was decapitated.
He was decapitated.
You know damn well what I do on Saturdays.
James Dean.
The James Dean Death Car Experience. Where power pop, drones, psychedelia, and punk rock simultaneously assert their right of way. Every Saturday from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. here on 88.1 FM WMBR Cambridge. It's more fun than deploying your airbag.
Ah, the disturbing melodies of a promotion.
That was quite a ride.
I have to say, these sounds are somewhat preferable in my mind. Less clangy and clashy.
And yet there is something to be said for the chaos. Every sound, in its beauty or in its ugliness, can be built to evoke a different response from its listener. And in that, in its ability to do so, it can be beautiful.
I'm sorry, I just had to hum along for a second. I knew I wasn't supposed to, since we're on the air, but I just couldn't restrain myself.
Perhaps we should all hum along, for I feel the need to indulge as well.
A little unpredictable now.
Much like life.
Well, similarly, Lily, life in its unpredictability, it can bring joy, it can bring pain.
It can also bring colors.
This is less likely.
We can hope.
I admit that the usual psychic energy that I am emitting is somewhat attenuated by the sheen of sweat that is running all over my...
Well, I feel that the spiritual energy being transmitted by us now is that of levity.
There are actually some really interesting experiences about spiritual energy that I read about in my studies as a younger woman, and they tried to enclose a spiritual healer in a metallic room, this healer, he tried to reach out to a sick person on the other side of the metal and was completely unable. And meanwhile, in a completely insulated room made of sheetrock and asbestos, the spiritual healer was able to reach through and touch the patient.
Well, was this the spiritual healer that famously sued the builder of the asbestos room?
No, this was earlier. This was back in, I believe, in the early 1960s, before it was widely known that asbestos was so harmful. But the interesting result in this study, I believe, is that his thoughts, his spiritual energy, his spiritual transmission was blocked by metal. And this indicates to those who understand any science that his spiritual energy was composed of little beams of light.
But the interesting result, if I may summarize your ramblings, Aurora, was that the healer was unable to heal a victim through a metal shield.
That's exactly correct. And if you'd like to call in and discuss this, our number is 617-253-8810.
Let's bring a caller on the air. Caller, marhaban.
Hello?
Yes, welcome, caller.
What's going on?
Well,
caller, could you step away from your radio, please?
Oh, sorry.
Thank you,
I'm
caller.
I'm in the car right now.
So. Caller, how are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm in the summer.
I'm in the summer, too.
caller, please, the radio. We are receiving unsavory vibrations. Caller.
Are you with us, caller?
I believe the vibrations consumed him entirely.
I believe that the caller, by mistake, instead of turning off the radio, he turned off his telephone.
That's
ironic.
It's a common mistake.
Well, it's also another solution, albeit slightly less desirable.
That happened to me recently. My wife called me on the phone, and I opened the phone, and instead of pressing the answer button, I pressed the ignore button.
Oh, and I'm so sorry.
A few days later, I realized what I had done, and it was an unforgivable mistake. We've been separated ever since.
It is often such small things, seemingly small, that to the tortured person contained within.
Here's the question that I have. I posit as a thesis, as an axiom, that life itself is a joke. Do we all agree with that, that life is a joke?
Well, it depends on how you define a joke.
Well, that's the next question. The question is, once we premise ourselves on that axiom, what kind of joke is life exactly? Is it a comic farce?
Perhaps life defines the joke.
Perhaps life is a knock-knock joke.
A knock-knock joke or a tragic joke?
Who is there?
What is there?
The birth. Every birth is the question.
Now, one question I have been pondering myself lately during my meditations is, why is there something?
Why is there?
There is something. We all can acknowledge that there is something, and that something obeys certain regular tendencies. The question is, why is there something, and why does it obey regular tendencies?
I would say that some people do not believe that there is something, and that the reason that this something can be somewhat predictable is because it is part of our enormous unified mind.
Well, then there is something. There is our unified, enormous mind.
But in that sense, it is not a something. It is a somewhat. Or a some who.
A some who, someone.
Let us bring some who onto the air with us. Caller, welcome.
Welcome, caller.
Oh, hi, good evening. I just wanted to say I agree there's a lot of something. There's more something than anything else.
And caller, what do you think this something is, a joke?
Yes.
What kind of joke?
Funny.
A funny.
I think it's all pretty funny.
I like
anyway,
to think so too.
It must be a joke because how could you possibly take it serious?
No, but my view, of course, is that that the grave things must be taken lightly and the light things should be treated solemnly.
I believe that life is like a comic. It is like the Sunday comic. It's a joke, but it's not always funny.
But then you look at something like human consumption and indigestion in the physical sense, and you take something that is so desirable and beautiful, and through this process, you convert beauty into energy. For when it passes through you, it is no longer desirable, but you are full of energy. So you cannot help but laugh at something like that, I believe.
I do laugh whenever I eat a hot dog.
Whenever what?
Whenever I consume a hot dog.
Oh, a hot dog.
A hot dog.
Dog.
With mustard, usually.
I can't stay on, but I want to continue to listen. And I wonder, could you just say hello to my friend Sheila?
Oh, is this the Sheila that I know?
No.
Oh.
It's another completely different Sheila. But would you say hello to her?
Hello, Sheila.
Marhaban, Sheila.
Namaste, Sheila.
Thank you. I'm going to go listen now. Good evening.
May you have many pleasant vibrations.
Thank you.
It really is very lovely to hear those vibrations back.
You know, it's an interesting thought that we, our sound producer, selects the music for us. And in a certain sense, I think that by selecting the music, he is setting the vibration for the show. He is setting the ambiance, and he is setting the theme. And so, in a certain sense, our sound producer is the one who really controls what we talk about by just selecting music of a certain vibration. Today, this music really just, I think, spurred us all onto a light note. Oh my, oh my.
And that is his response. I do have a difficult time interpreting.
Back to the levity.
I believe the music has evolved. It is coming from teenage to adulthood. It's very complex. It's so rich.
It is in a transition phase.
This is definitely more serious music. This music reminds me of my ex-wife. Oh, this music reminds me of my girlfriend.
I believe this music, according to our music production, it was inspired by the pine forests in Germany, where the pine needles, ironically, in an effort to be ironic against nature, the needles will turn yellow and fall from the pine tree in the fall. In the autumn.
So these are the so-called false evergreens.
The nevergreen.
The nevergreen.
Or the periodically green.
Sometimes green.
The semi-green.
You know, I was riding the public transportation yesterday, the T, as they call it here. And I noticed that if you look people in the eyes and sing, they become very uncomfortable. Even if the song you sing to them is joyful and welcoming.
Well, this is a cultural artifact of New England.
I'm very, very sorry to hear it.
Yes, and I've, in my experience in many other countries, one can perfectly well sing to strangers and be sung to in return, often.
Yes, and I've often found in my travels that when I sang to people, they always welcomed me and fed me. And other times in the area, if I happened to be holding a hat or a cup, people would often throw money into my cup of coffee.
Unbidden.
Yes, exactly.
Well, the last time I made eye contact on the tea was sort of a horrifying experience for me.
I'm very, very sorry.
Yes, there was a fairly attractive woman sitting across from me, and I looked her in the eye. She glanced at me, quickly looked away, and shook her head no, vigorously.
Ooh.
It was pretty horrifying. And
well, perhaps he projected a question into her mind, such as, do you like the color blue?
Well, it was a pretty disgusted shaking of the head.
I find blue can be quite harsh.
It may be that she was very much offended by the color of
out
my
of,
eyes.
Out of curiosity, are there any special numbers associated with the different colors which would possibly bring the distaste or the affinity?
Well, perhaps a four, but I cannot be sure.
Well, a special number that is associated with Music for Human is our phone number. If you'd like to join in with us, it is 617-253-8810. Caller, marhaban. Caller?
Hello?
Yes, welcome, caller.
How are you?
Caller, we are well, and we ask about your wellness.
I just got to say I love the color blue.
Is there a particular shade or hue? Because blue, we give this name to a wide spectrum.
Really, has to be that wide?
It is a wide spectrum.
Blues of the midnight sky, the blues of the midday sky.
I prefer a turquoise.
I did once know.
I like the midnight sky.
The midnight sky. I did once know a man who.
Yeah, with all the vibration, it gets very exciting.
Now, caller, are you a creature of the night yourself?
Yes, I am.
Well, welcome, creature of
now,
the night.
Yes, because usually the darker, the navy and midnight blues would evoke a sense of exhaustion or deep relaxation, but for you, obviously, as a
invigorating effect.
I agree.
Well, I did once know a man who could not stand the color blue, and as a result, he never looked up into the sky except on the most overcast of days. On any day where the sky was present, he would avert his gaze.
So, your friend is a groundhog.
Oh, I always look up to the sky. You never know when something's going to fall on your head.
Well, has anything fallen on your head recently of interest?
Yes, actually, it fell on my car. A lot of poop. All the birds were flying over, and they all crapped all over my car. So that's why you should always look up, because you never know when you're going to get shot.
Well, the problem if you look up is that your eye then is the recipient of this.
Yeah, I've heard it burns if it gets into your eye. So, you know, the creatures of the night, they like doing that.
But then with the night can come mosquitoes. Those are pleasant.
Yeah, they do have mosquitoes and mice.
Also,
the owls. Owls are my favorite birds.
I did once know a man, or a woman rather, who was allergic to sweat. And, so she was allergic to sweat. If it touched her skin, she would break out in hives.
So she could never have sex, because.
Well, not only could she not have such carnal relations, but except in maybe very, very placid air conditioned contexts. But she actually couldn't even run outside or do any physical activity because she would be allergic to her own sweat as well.
Yeah, many, many sorts of exercises, even meditative exercises, will result in a production of sweat.
Yeah, she had to basically remain very calm throughout her life. And I wonder if it turned out well for her. Maybe she ended up living a very long life due to this calmness.
It either would be very long or very brief.
Blessed transdermal mediator, very... Dr. Jalis, what do you think that this sweat allergy would be due to?
In a spiritual sense. As a spiritual issue on the skin. It was a skin issue?
Yes.
Particularly. Well, there are many things. It could have been simply an aversion to this stressful thing, whether it is from herself or from others. In many ways, sweat is regarded as a container of poison. And so when one exercises or meditates or sits in hot baths or experiences other things, the poisons are excreted. So it may have been that she was very open spiritually and thus able to absorb poisons even.
Well, I have a different theory.
Please.
Well, one of the spiritual advantages of sweat, as we all know, is that sweating profusely allows you to sweat out the impurities within your body. And of course, many of us frequent sweat lodges for precisely this reason, so that we can sweat profusely and get all the impurities out of our body and really become...
I've heard that creatures of the night are very pure, so there is no impurity to get out.
That may be the true in your case.
Well, even in these nights lately, you can sweat.
But anyway, my point being...
I'm leaking myself.
In this woman's case, it may be that she was actually leaking not only the impurities, but the purities as well.
Hmm.
So she was actually losing essential vitamins and minerals when she sweated.
I believe that it may be a combination of the two, that she was exuding her impurities and then reabsorbing them, or the impurities of others and then reabsorbing them. Or perhaps...
Wow, maybe I should get off the phone because the girl's voice is making me sweat. It's very sexy. So,
This is where the creature of the night makes its presence heard.
Precisely. In any case, the impurities... It seems to me that the theory that she was leaking purities out of her sweat does not explain the symptoms.
Right, it may be, but why would her body reject the purities? Why would it be so offended?
Well, see, this is one mystery. And the other unexplained phenomenon is that if others were to leak impurities in their sweat, why would that offend her?
Hmm.
Her own sweat, perhaps, but not others.
That is a good point.
I have heard of a circumstance in North Africa. I met a woman, and this woman, the more I attempted to heal her scars, her mental and emotional scars through vocal therapy, the worse she seemed to be.
Yes, I understand.
And there was nothing that I could do about it until I realized that some people carry within them and nourish this poison within themselves. And it is not something that can be easily taken away from them because it is a part of their soul. And so when attempting to heal, there are abrasions and there is pain and suffering when attempting to leak away all of these poisons.
I dare say that she was in need of manual therapy, not just vocal therapy, I think.
Well, she needed to. In the end, what I did with her was very drastic. She needed to be pushed through this healing so that the abrasions would heal, but with the poison on the outside.
Was this by any chance a Moroccan woman?
Sudanese,
yes. I think
I know
who it is.
I believe she had some Moroccan ancestors. I don't think you've ever met her. She was in a village.
Well, in any case, Professor Levine, this patient that you spoke of, was she also exhibiting allergies or other issues with urine or other biles?
I don't know. I didn't really ask her those questions. This came up as a conversation at a cocktail party.
So I not really, not a matter to stress.
Right, I didn't probe very deeply. It was.
I would have been curious about her response to the aqueous humor.
No, I didn't. I didn't attempt to elicit any responses.
Or I perhaps in such situations may have accidentally poured aqueous humor on
part of the amazing that the power of the mind in hurting and healing oneself, if you consume yourself in a disease, it can eat away at your soul and your spirit, and it can burn your flesh.
I've never had my flesh burned, but I am going to Sweden tomorrow. I am going on a flight to Sweden through Iceland, and I wonder, I don't know anything about Sweden. Do any of you or any of our listeners perhaps know anything about Sweden that they could tell me?
Sweden. I have been in Europe many, many times, but Sweden I do not recall.
I have heard that the people there are tall and blonde.
This yes. I remember.
Well, in all areas there are generalities that may or may not hold. For example, in Switzerland, I was told that the place would be very quiet and very cold, but I felt it was warm, and the hearts of the people were warm deep within their cloaks.
They were just very polite.
Very closed, I would say.
Closed.
I have met people whose hearts were wrapped in a thermos, so the heat could not escape.
Could
nor
not be felt.
Could they themselves absorb any warmth.
There are those of us who are more like the sun, burning gas, emitting heat and energy and light and life.
It is a useful skill to be able to transfer your happiness.
To emit. But also I have met those whose hearts were like ice and therefore who were very receptive.
Perhaps like the moon. The moon itself is reflective. It has no source of energy of its own, and yet it reflects the light of the sun.
But this can be good from the perspective of sympathetic vibrations. A person like this can sometimes be very empathic.
But at the same time, the moon itself is cold and barren, and so I wonder how the souls of those must be. They serve others only and not themselves.
Well, it is not, in fact, always cold. One half of the moon is always very hot, and the other half is very cold, depending on whether it's facing the sun at a given moment.
I love a duality.
So it's a sort of bipolarism.
When it is in the presence of the sun, it reflects it powerfully, and it absorbs the energy very well, very effectively. But without an external source of energy, it is lifeless. And I'm sure we all have people like this within our own lives. We all know people like this.
Indeed, indeed. This kind of mirror heart is one that I aspire to neither be the sun nor to be a ball of ice.
Nor to be completely enshrouded like Venus.
Nor completely exposed like Pluto.
Pluto, O lonely moon, O unusual rock.
Is that original?
Unfortunately, it is.
It's very beautiful.
Unfortunate indeed.
It is a very great burden to feel so, so gravely.
Well, Pluto. I mean, I think you, Dr. Jalas, feel very deeply, very often. And I often see you walking around with your face in your hands. With your face in your hands.
Indeed, and what you may see if you stare using the brain, using the inner eye, you may see that my hands are not only holding my face, but they are embedded deep within my mind, probing.
Of course, most of the other time that I see you, you are walking on your hands. So,
but that may be with the spiritual eye also.
Well, it is very peculiar to see one walking down the street.
Not as odd as I might point out as walking on the spiritual hands.
Indeed, indeed. Because the spiritual feet, even themselves, are not necessary. They may be ignored.
Or they may themselves be spiritual hand feet.
Yeah, the spiritual feet are also susceptible to many skin issues. And it is a dangerous thing.
Not as tough as the physical foot.
The physical foot is, in many respects, more often healthy.
I think that's the plague of our modern society.
What is?
Our spiritual feet are weak, withered. We know not how to travel on them alone.
In my profession, we call this the fool's foot, as mirrored by athlete's foot.
Well, I've always envisioned myself spiritually as a somewhat corn snake. It's a gentle worm.
And footless.
Footless.
And this may explain your spiritual health.
Is that a good or a bad spiritual health?
I think it is health.
I think it is good. Consider the snake. It may move without leaving the ground at any point.
And that's exactly why I feel this vision, because
yes,
when you meditate, when you feel yourself leaving the physicality of the world, you can feel everything around you. You are embracing the spiritual realm, the spiritual floor, and slithering along it to feel your path as you move along. And you cannot just take discrete steps along the way.
Well, I myself am a big fan of bipedalism.
I once rolled down a spiritual mountain. I fell, and all the scars, they're gone.
Spiritual scars from feeling your spiritual domain, even when succumbing to the gravity of the situation, they can be healing scars. They in themselves are not just scars.
They are not. They are the bits of one soul knitting together after admitting some new soul bits.
I have a proposal.
Please.
I propose that we word associate in turn.
That is interesting. Sure. So the word, what is this?
So the person on our right says a word, and we speak the word that comes to mind, and we go in a circle several times and see where we
begin
and end.
I have a word.
So the order will be Zoro, and then Zoro's word, I will yield a new word.
Echo. Yes. Echo.
And then the Aurora will yield another word.
Yes.
And then Professor Levine will yield the fourth word.
Yes.
Following which, Zoro will speak a fifth word.
And if a caller calls in, they may become
they will
part
be
of the chain.
Yes. In the circle.
Yes, in the circle.
Excellent. So we will begin with
bird,
cantaloupe,
skin,
smooth,
milkshake,
bird.
I must admit, the first word that came to mind cannot be spoken over the air.
Please select the second word.
That one can't be spoken either.
Flight.
Flight, excellent.
Sound wave.
The third word.
Vibration.
Elephant.
Feet.
Antelope.
Transduction.
Cantaloupe.
Flesh.
Banana.
A juicy pear.
Telephone.
Banana phone.
Cantaloupe.
Butterfly.
Doorbell.
All I hear in my mind at the moment is a loop of cantaloupe, cantaloupe, cantaloupe.
It's a good loop.
Yes, I think that cantaloupe has been on all our minds for a very long time.
Especially due to the summer heat and our inability to grow such fruits ourselves.
Yes. Perhaps we should shift focus to the honeydew.
Honeydew. It is my word?
Yes.
You may go.
Honeydew.
Nose.
Kiss.
Eyelashes.
Water.
Spectral.
Principal components analysis.
Denser.
Matrix.
Alchemy.
Cantaloupe.
Reduction.
Cucumber.
Crunch.
Break.
Cantaloupe.
Amuse-bouche.
Now, when you say amuse-bouche.
Amuse-mouche.
Amuse-mouche?
Bouche.
Bouche.
Bush.
Bush. Bush.
Bush. A bush in French, it means the mouth.
Ah.
Now, are you a speaker of French?
I speak a bit of French. As many people, they say to me, yeah, Dr. Jalis, they say, parlez-vous français? And I say, je parle un peu.
Pas mal.
Un petit means, peu.
And then they say to me, un petit peu, and I say, non, un grand peu. And that is about all of the French.
That you know.
A little more.
A little more, because that would be a petit peu.
Now, I've heard that it is not actually the case that the French invented the French kiss, but rather that the French kiss...
Invented the French?
...goes back to the era of the Neolithic period.
I must regard Zorro's view as more simple and hence more likely to be true.
Mm. Well, those two, I believe, go hand in hand. But I always considered that French in the beginning of any of those phrases just meant sliced into very thin pieces.
Mm-hmm. I think hand in hand here means that your hand is in your mouth.
Perhaps some more word association.
Shall you then begin again, Zorro?
I have a word. It's ready to be said.
Perhaps the new rule should be that the word you associate should be the furthest from the one that you hear, not the closest.
Oh.
It is not the most immediately thought of.
The least immediate.
Last immediately thought
of. The last, yes.
The that one would take longer.
That you think of. Yeah.
No, you can scan your brain backwards.
Most distantly. Begin, Zorro, please.
Mantis.
Praying.
That is not the opposite of what you would think of.
No, this is the last thing that I would associate.
With a mantis?
Yeah, the prayer with the insect.
Yes, I mean, why would an insect pray?
Subjourning.
Sojourning?
Yes.
Waffle cone.
Brain.
Ice cream.
solidified.
Cantaloupe.
Existential.
Banana.
Rotund.
Tweezer.
Monkey.
Acne.
Probation.
Pardon?
Probation. Unless your word was pardon, I'm
no, sorry. I heard procreation. But that is, I have a mind that goes to certain places.
I believe there is not much to be gained for our listeners and for ourselves to extend the word association without any description of our...
Well, perhaps sentence, yes, sentence association.
Sentence
perhaps
association.
Perhaps a form of free-form poetry. Yes. One,
free-form
one
poetry,
line.
Yes, that's excellent.
Wandering desolately through the dying desert.
A man dies, but the desert lives.
Please do not forget my calling.
I have discovered the grove of the cantaloupe.
And it lies juicily on the side of the street. As I drift by.
Or rather, perhaps, does the cantaloupe discover the man?
My son, do not forget the message of the cantaloupe.
The cantaloupe, when I opened it, contained the message, I am not a cantaloupe.
And for he who does not eat of my flesh, then is he also not, or is he?
Thou shalt not cook the cantaloupe in the milk of its mother.
Souviens, ce n'est pas une pipe.
Je vais me manger le cantaloupe.
Weil ich ein Cantaloupe gegessen habe, dann kann ich Cantaloupe essen.
Why, oh why are you speaking gibberish?
Said the boy to me.
يا فؤادي لا تسأل أين الكانتالوب كان صرحا من خيال كانتالوب
Well, I believe that brings it too close. That was very good, you guys.
I'd like to translate the last bit. I said that in a single line of poetry that contained within the cantaloupe is the seed of a man, and that man is a cantaloupe. Let us bring briefly a final voice on the air. No, let us not. Why would we? We have a mere 5 minutes, and it is only enough time for us to say goodnight.
And to further.
I don't know. I've heard that 5 minutes can be enough time to wash a shirt.
Or to consume a cantaloupe.
Eat a bowl of cereal. Wash one's arms.
Shave.
Mm-hmm. Shave.
To create a cantaloupe.
I believe it would take Dr. Dallas much more than 5 minutes to shave.
Procreate.
I recently attempted to shave, and...
I'm very, very sorry.
I see the results of that there.
I destroyed many, many devices, modern devices, in an attempt... to shave, and it was finally a very ancient device that removed a large portion of the hair from my face and arms. It was a sword.
A flint.
No, it was the sword.
A flint, it would be more ancient.
No, I used it truly.
Some still use the flint rock for circumcision.
Now, was this a dagger, or was it a longer, more European type sword, or a scimitar?
Well, you know, if you do need to find a sword very quickly, if you find a Sikh nearby, they are probably carrying a dagger.
Indeed. I attempted many modern devices, the tweezer, the trimmer, the razor blade, and the laser. I resorted ultimately to the ancient curved sword. Aurora, thank you for being with me.
Namaste.
And also to you, Professor Levine, I give thanks.
I give thanks to you in return in greater abundance.
And also, of course, to Zorro,
Welcome.
Merci.
And thank
Merci
you again.
Beaucoup.
I'm Dr. Jalis Sakran here on WMBR Cambridge, 88.1 FM, here every Friday at 7 p.m. New Age Talk Radio, with an emphasis on cantaloupe. Stay tuned next for Hipster Happy Hour. Ma'a salama. Music for Human. Dr. Jalis Sakran knows you. He knows all of you.
Four points for safety.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians and unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.
Head to toe, rayon, don't light a match. We look good and we're starting from scratch. Going to a place that never existed and probably never will, yeah. Oh, blue white basement on the throwdown. Autonomous zone with it in the lights. And leave well enough alone to leave your contacts at home and leave your irony at the door.
Hi out there, and welcome to another edition of Hipster Happy Hour, bringing you the best in bands you've never heard of. Thanks to Bill Payne for covering for me last week. This, again, is your host, Steve Meister-Jang. Bill covered for me while I took off time to go party with hippies in the woods. It was a good time. If you'd like to hear more about my wacky adventures, or